Again, the title of this morning's message is The Treasure Within. The Treasure Within. So let's start out by reading our text, and then we'll break it down. All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Father, I know that many times we take things for granted. Perhaps those that that are closest to us. But I know that we have this tendency also to take you for granted. To sometimes only look to you when times are tough. And not necessarily all the time. When things are good and for the answers to life and everything that pertains to it. I pray that this morning we understand the treasure that is within us as believers, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. We are indwelt with the treasure that is far beyond comparison. And so, Lord, I ask that you would help us to understand what you have for us to come to understand and know this morning. Father, that we would be encouraged and even built up in our confidence to walk with you and to acknowledge you in all of your ways, that we would bless and glorify you. And so we commit this time into your hands, Father, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I read a story about this old man that had died. And he died very poor. He lived in a very small apartment. In fact, prior to that, there were times in his life that he was homeless. And so he didn't have really much to show for as far as his life was concerned. He was pretty your everyday guy, pretty much your everyday guy, and didn't really stand out. So his family went and collected his belongings. And as they were putting them together, they decided that they were going to have a yard sale to get rid of some of the things that he had in his apartment. Included in those items was this painting. And so they sold the painting along with everything else. And the lady that bought this painting, she took it to an appraiser to find out, you know, if it was of any value, you know, at all. Well, come to find out, this painting was worth millions. It was worth millions. And so she decided to take this painting and auction it off and find out exactly how much she could get for this painting. Well, she ended up getting over $3 million for this painting. It was by someone who lived in the 1800s, And she basically pocketed over $3 million. This whole time, he had this painting in his little apartment. And what his life could have been if he understood the treasure that lied within. Right? It could have been much different. But he didn't. He didn't understand. He just hung it up, and that's what was there. So many people live like that today with priceless treasures, and a priceless treasure as Christians living inside of us. We don't even know it. We don't even really acknowledge it. Sometimes we take little glimpses of the treasure that lies within, and as we worship, we consider him. As we come into difficult circumstances, situations, seasons in our lives, we think about that treasure that lies within. But I think we have a tendency to live like that old man did, with a treasure within and not even consider it, not even understand what we have possession of. Now, to understand why things are the way they are gives you an awareness of things previously perhaps taken for granted or maybe even not known. Being ignorant of the truth. That's why it's so important as we come together as a fellowship that we learn the Word of God, that we understand the treasure that we do have in this book called the Bible. This morning, this awareness comes in the form of a heavenly treasure that is within earthly vessels that we read through those verses that belong to God. For those who are born again, Christians, there is a treasure that lies within each one of us, and it's referred to in verse 6. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's his treasure that we have. This light that is to shine out of us is actually a reflection of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ through an intimate knowledge of his glory. The more we come to know Christ, the more we get to know him, the more we reflect his glory, and it's unbeknownst to us because we are truly vessels. As Ray had prayed, hey, use our pastor as an instrument in your hands to bring forth a message that you have for us. And that's all we really are. We're these vessels. We're instruments used by God. And the closer we get to the Lord, the more we reflect his glory. It's not to our glory, it's to his glory. The glory God has shown in our hearts reflects to others. In other words, we possess an intimate knowledge of God's grace. The more we acknowledge his grace, the more we reflect that. And so we possess this intimate knowledge of God's grace by the Spirit that made residence inside of us the moment we believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And thus we desire that others may come to have that same knowledge of the glory of God in Christ Jesus by grace through faith. Salvation through Jesus Christ is the knowledge of heaven. And our place in Jesus Christ, that is guaranteed to us with him. With this treasure, there is a power within us that brings glory to God. And like I said, not to us. It preserves us, it protects us, it strengthens us as we have the resurrection power that comes with being a new creature in the resurrected Christ. But again, it serves to glorify him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And this is why the apostle could say with great confidence, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." This treasure within these frail, and they are frail earthly bodies, these tents, reveals itself to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. That's the thing, and what it does is it builds up this thanksgiving to the Lord. All glory to him. In biblical times, these earthly vessels were common. They were cheap. And they had little intrinsic value. In and of themselves, they weren't worth much at all. In fact, when they broke, they would be just thrown away in a pile. Not like glass or metal. I mean, you could melt that and reuse it. But with these earthen vessels, they'd just be thrown away. And it's interesting how it was that the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians and saying, hey, there's this treasure that lies within you. But listen, you are like these earthen vessels that are before us, that you are very familiar with today in each and every one of your homes. Sometimes we give value to, too much value to the vessel itself and not what lies within. David Guzik said, quote, God chose to put his light and glory in the everyday dishes, not the fine china. Close quote. I like that. So fitting. And with this understanding, it should be that when people see the work that is done through us, we know that it's not the power of the vessel itself, but the power of God. It's like, it's great when we encourage each other. Wow, you know, that's wonderful, the work that you did. It's, you know, how great, how encouraging and all that. And it's encouraging to one another. In fact, we should do that. But the bottom line is that we need to come to the understanding that that power, that strength, those words, if they are of any good, they come from the Lord. And I think it's fitting to consider the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 7, when Gideon and his men stood surrounding the Midian army. And one of the things that they did is that they broke these earthen vessels to reveal this light that was within them, that shone forth. And it was through that light that they received victory. God caused confusion among the Midianites, and they killed themselves, each other, and there was great victory. And we need to understand, this humility is a brokenness of the vessel. You and I. And when these earthen vessels are broken, the word says, a broken and contrite heart, O God, these you will not despise. In other words, he will not turn his back on them. His face is straight toward us, shining on us. And it's in those and through those broken vessels that God uses to bring him glory and to benefit others around us. Humility. There are three words that I believe that can encompass the encouragement and call to action that Paul communicates to us today through these verses. Number one is resilience. Number two, share or communication. And thirdly, expectation. We can also look at that as hope. Let's look at the treasure of resilience, verses 8 through 12. Therefore, having this ministry, I'm sorry, 7, right? Not 8. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. This resilience in this treasure is the capacity to recover quickly. It's basically a spiritual toughness that we've built up because of the knowledge that we have intimately of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing that we need to understand as we look at that first verse, in verse 7 there, but we have these treasures in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. The first thing is that you must be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. This is known through salvation, a surrender of our lives to Jesus Christ. We lose our lives to him, but he gives us eternal life in exchange. We give him our sins. He gives us forgiveness. And he gives us the hope of heaven. And with that, the treasure that lies within us is secured by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, resilience is proved through suffering. Thirdly, resilience recognizes the death of the power of sin and the power of our victory in Christ over it. And fourthly, resilience serves others by encouraging them to also walk in the power of God that abides in each and every one of us. Let's talk about this resilience that is proved through suffering. I know oftentimes we don't want to hear that. That suffering is something that we all at some point experience. But it's through that that our spiritual toughness comes to the surface. Or it's revealed that we are actually weak spiritually. Paul, we need to understand, was not being superficially spiritual in saying these words. He wasn't speaking theory. He was speaking from experience. Paul knew intimately what it meant to be afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. But he also understood the flip side of that. Not to be crushed, not driven to despair, not forsaken, and not destroyed because of God's power that lied within him. He knew that. Think about this. Was Paul a hunted man? Yeah, he was a hunted man. Was Paul a hated man? Yeah, he was a hated man, according to Taylor. Amen. And he was. He was a hunted man. He was a hated man. He knew this, right? In fact, many times his life was left on a balance. He was stoned and left for dead. Remember, he was taken out of the city limits and basically left for dead. Paul's life was very hard. Like we probably will never experience. And it was hard because of his love and devotion to Jesus Christ and the fact that he would not shut up about the gospel. He wouldn't. He kept proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ with authority, with boldness, with love and humility. He was, as I often call him, the bulldog of Christianity. He just kept going no matter what. And this is why he was persecuted. This is why he was hunted. This is why he was hated. And you know what? Paul knew that it was all worth it. But his resilience was brought to the surface by and through these difficulties. Paul suffered the weight of harassment, but God sustained him by his strength. And Paul realized he was not being crushed under its weight. You know, sometimes we make so much of the situations that we find ourselves in, don't we? Like, oh, this is the end of the world. No, it's not. God will help you through this. You will not be crushed. Paul suffered bizarre and baffling circumstances. That's what it means to be perplexed. Like, he was perplexed. Like, this is baffling. God, have you ever felt that way? I am baffled. I am perplexed. I am like, this is odd. This is weird. But, Lord, it's in your hands. Well, he suffered these bizarre and baffling circumstances, but God was his hope. And he did not conclude with despair. What is despair? It's the utter loss of hope. For him, even though he was baffled, although he met up with some bizarre situations, he did not lose hope. He did not turn away from the Lord. He was his hope. Paul suffered hostility because of his belief in Jesus Christ and thus abandoned by many who once held him in high regard. You know, sometimes we fear what we're going to lose, what we're going to leave behind. Who's going to turn their backs on us? If we go, you know, in the direction of Jesus Christ, we do. If you're honest, you do think about that. Oh, man. You know, I used to look at those guys as Jesus freaks. And I used to just, you know, give them a hard time. And with my buddies over here, I'd laugh at them. And here I am now. I'm actually contemplating surrendering my life to Jesus Christ because I've come to the understanding that I do understand that sin separates me from the Father. It's through Jesus Christ and surrender to him that I'm forgiven of my sins and God gives his grace to me through him. and you think about perhaps what may happen. Well, Paul was familiar with that. He suffered hostility because of his belief in Jesus Christ and thus abandoned by many who once held him in high regard. But he realized that God never left him and that God never turns his back on him. Paul suffered forcible, aggressive, violent, real strikes with weapons, hands, and also with words, with false accusations. But his existence continued as God was his strength and his covering. In other words, he understood God was his shield. Whatever you choose to shield me from, I will bear the weight under that, and you are my shield. We need to understand that, just as Paul did. Paul's resilience was proved through these difficulties. That's what will happen through our difficulties. Is that resilience, if we have resilience, spiritual resilience, toughness, it'll be revealed through those difficult times. When you're put to the test, you see at what point you burst and if you can take that pressure. Understanding that we can give it all to the Lord, and with Him, we can withstand all things and we can glorify Him. Secondly, resilience is death to sin and victory in Christ. This is something that we need to acknowledge. This is what verses 10 and 11 points to. This is always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested or revealed in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested or again revealed in our mortal flesh. So it's just not in word, it's not just in thought, but it's these things that need to be evident in our lives outwardly. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. Spiritual resilience is also the work of both death and life, and it is a conscientious act of acknowledging the fact that both are true. Denying self and taking up our cross daily means that there is an everyday struggle. So Jesus acknowledged that. There's going to be an everyday struggle. So daily, you are to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. It's not going to happen automatically. It is only when we are conscientious about it that we are able to walk intimately with the Lord. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And again, this verse speaks of a conscientious act on our behalf. It doesn't, again, happen automatically. We're not inclined to do all these things. We're battling the flesh, the world, and Satan. And he does fire off these fiery darts, doesn't he? There's these thoughts that come in, and we're like, where did that come from? We can be in prayer. And have you ever been in prayer and you're in the middle of just this amazing time with the Lord and then this thought comes in? You're like, wow, where did that come from? Those are those fiery darts. And it happens all the time in different situations at different times. When Paul speaks of carrying in the body the death of Jesus and given over to death for Jesus' sake, he's speaking to the fact that in Christ we are dead to sin. It no longer has the same power it once had. And if you think it does, and maybe it does, then you need to ask the Lord to help you. Or you need to stop convincing yourself that it does. Sometimes we do that because, quite frankly, we love our sin. But sin no longer has the same power it once had over you. Because we're carrying within us the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. When he went to the cross, he died for our sins, past, present, and future. The devil knows that. Therefore, in Christ, we are dead to the power that sin once had over us. And we are alive in him. Because in 3 days after he was put into the grave, he was resurrected. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 56 and 57 says this: "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So resilience is death to sin and victory in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, resilience serves others. The spiritual toughness serves others. This is awesome. This is something that's not kept for us, but it's for others. It benefits us, but it blesses others as well. When we are deliberate, as Paul was, in pursuing holiness and righteousness and growing in our denial of the flesh and walking in the victory of Christ, it serves to build others up. It gives life. And it is for the sake of Jesus' glory. That verse there, verse 12, "So death is at work in us." So death, you know, as we grow in the Lord, this sin is dying in us. We're understanding it doesn't have the power that it once had. But you know what it does for everyone around you? It encourages, it strengthens up, it builds up. That's what it does. So death in me, but life in you. That's what it does. And we do that within the church. We do that with each other as Christians in fellowship. We don't do this to show how righteous and holy we are. That's self-righteousness. That's of no value whatsoever. In fact, that would be considered to be pride. But we serve simply as silent examples that shine forth that which lies within us. That glorious treasure that points to Jesus Christ and His power. And again, that serves others. Secondly, communicate or to share. Verses 13 through 15. "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, 'I believed and so I spoke.' We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and brings us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." We have this treasure that really we must communicate to others. 1 Corinthians 9, 16 and 17, this is what the Apostle Paul writes. He said, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship." You understood, hey, one way or the other, I am to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, woe is me if I do not preach it. Woe is me. It burns within me. The spirit of faith is shared by all who call on Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the spirit of faith is to move and to act. And in believing, we come to believe, we speak. We speak. So it's not just acting in faith, but it's also speaking in faith and telling others about the good news of Jesus Christ. The hope of the resurrection in Christ Jesus by God's grace through faith in him. Romans 10:14 says this: "How then will they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" These are vessels. These are these earthen vessels that are to open up their mouths and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, the hope of heaven. You see, the preaching of the good news is essential for grace to extend, to abound, right? To more and more people. It's not because God can't do it any other way. He can. He can choose to do it any way he wants to. But it's because he chose human vessels that possess salvation to communicate what they've come to know personally. As we come to believe in our resurrection in Christ Jesus and believe that God who raised Jesus will raise us to be in his presence, we are to tell others of this good news. And grace thus extends to more and more people. And what does this build up? It's like having all of us here together. We have a few people. We have five people. We tell others about Jesus Christ. Maybe that then builds up to 10 people. And what do we do before the message? We sung, right? We raised our voices to the Lord. We gave him praise. What happens when 5 turns into 10, turns into 20, turns into 40, turns into 80? Oh, the volume goes up. Thanks being given to the Lord continues to extend to more people. We praise Him. There's more people that are singing His praises. And as we go out, as we tell others the good news of Jesus Christ, this is what happens. This thanksgiving that is continually given to God, and it's extending, it's expanding, He's being glorified by more and more people. This is for the benefit of others, and it's to God's glory. This is, by the way, testimonies are very powerful. This is how sales are made more effective. Word of mouth is powerful, and personal references are more believable. Like you give someone, like, this is what I'm all about. Your prospective employer, right? Someone who you're going and applying for a position under or within this company. But then they say, well, I need to have a few references. I know you say this about you, but I want to hear what others say about you. These personal references are testimonies of your character. And they're powerful. When you get a few people, testimonials, you know, a few people saying, yeah, this product has done this, 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 and this for me. Isn't it more believable? Well, your personal testimony of what God has done in your life is powerful. That's why it's important. It's like, oh, I don't have all the words. I don't know what to say. What has God done for you? What has He saved you from? What has He done in your life? Just say that. Just tell others about that. What's happened in your life? That's powerful. We have this treasure of resilience, a treasure to share, and thirdly, the treasure of expectation. This is hope. Verses 16 through 18, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Two times in this chapter, we've been encouraged to not lose heart. In verse 1 and also here in verse 16. Not only are we not to be discouraged and dismayed, but we are also encouraged not to act like we learned last week in a cowardly manner. Not pulling back, holding back. Standing up for truth, standing in the truth, walking out the truth in our lives to God's glory and for the sake of God's grace, being extended to more and more people that thanksgiving may increase and abound to the glory of God. Now, those of you who are, I would say, maybe 30 and above, maybe 40, I don't know. You realize that these tents are breaking down, no? Okay, when you were younger, and you were told by, you know, your parents, oh, just wait till you're whatever, right? You're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I feel strong. I feel energetic. I can go. And then you get there, right? And I remember someone saying, yeah, you know, Your tent is breaking down when you drop something, and when you go down to pick it up, you're actually looking for anything else that you can pick up while you're down there because you don't want to make a second trip. So we acknowledge, right, these earthen vessels are breaking down, but the inner self is being built up in Christ. So it's a logical question, right? With all of these sufferings, all of these afflictions, how can we not lose heart? Be dismayed, a little discouraged. Wouldn't it be reasonable for someone to feel dismayed and maybe even downcast if experiencing these types of sufferings? And yes, absolutely, for someone who doesn't have the same hope that we have in Christ. I'll give you that. Definitely. It is also reasonable, not because Rawl says it, but because the Bible says it. Because we have it right before us. It's also reasonable for someone to not feel dismayed or be led by that and led to despair because of who they have in Christ. Do you have Jesus Christ abiding in you? That's the hope. That's the reality of a person who is surrendered to Jesus Christ, Him being Lord, Him being Savior. In verse 17, Paul uses language that gives us a picture of comparing the weight of momentary affliction to that of eternal glory. So you can check out, like, there's a scale. And he's saying, okay, go ahead and put momentary affliction on the scale. Oh, it's tipped down pretty good. But hold on, because on the other side, I'm going to go ahead and put on the scale eternal glory. Right? Go ahead and put on some more momentary affliction on this side. See if it budges on that side. No. 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 Put it all on there. No. He says, it's incomparable. It's like, almost as if, and it's not even like this. Put an elephant on one side and put an ant on the other. And that's everything. All the afflictions that we have are momentary. Paul, remember what he went through. And what I'm saying here is, let us reason. Consider the weight of momentary affliction in light of eternal glory in heaven with God. Is that not hope? Is it not beyond all comparison as we read here? Do you have the right perspective of sufferings and difficulties you may be facing right now in light of the glory that awaits us in the presence of God? As I pointed out earlier, Paul had experienced much more than we will ever experience, I believe, and yet could say with complete confidence, he said it, all of them he considered as light, momentary afflictions. That was preparing for him, an eternal weight of glory. That means heaven, in the presence of God, for all eternity. He was beaten, imprisoned, left for dead, forsaken by his countrymen, shipwrecked, robbed, almost drowned, hunted, hated, experienced sleeplessness, hunger. He was thirsty, cold, naked. All of these things he experienced. And for him, light afflictions. You ever experienced any of those? How about all of them? How's your scale? What are you considering? Would that not be encouraging? It's that treasure that's lying within you. Have you considered it? Romans 8:17 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." We need to be willing to suffer. Go through some suffering. It's okay, Lord. Because what's being prepared through this is an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. The treasure within us is hope, which drives us to understand that the sufferings of this life are passing, they're transient, they're temporal, but what awaits us is the glory of God that is eternal. In closing, I just want to say this. I want to encourage you today. Don't settle for living a mediocre existence. And this is not just a feel-good kind of a closing, and it's not. It's true. In the Lord, as we have this treasure within us, we shouldn't settle for a mediocre existence. God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of your lives. to be that spokesperson for the Lord. To walk in truth. To walk with this great hope. To be joyous. To praise God. To look for ways to glorify Him. When God created you, He created a masterpiece. Well, in the Word. You're in process. But He considers you His poema, His masterpiece. That's hard to believe, right? As we come to get to know ourselves a little more, we understand, just as Paul said, I am of all chief of sinners. And yet God regards us as his masterpiece, His workmanship. A vessel in which to house the glory of God, these earthen vessels. That's amazing. Every morning when you get out of bed, remind yourself, I have the same power that raised Christ from the dead living inside of me. I am positioned for victory in Christ and Christ in me. We shoot forward every day from victory, not to victory. We've already won in Christ. Already won in Christ. Make His word your highest priority. I encourage you to do that. Be determined to live a life of obedience by His Spirit and by God's grace to the Word of God so that you can partake of the eternal blessing He has in store for you each and every day. So, how's your scale? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, I encourage you, don't consider nothing else. Don't let anything get in the way of you knowing that hope that we were talking about. Understanding that treasure that could lie within you. Understanding that forgiveness is just a prayer away. Surrendering your life to the Lord. Because our sins have separated us from the Father. And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. He's paid for our sin, past, present, and future. And the way we have this certain hope of heaven is to ask God for forgiveness. This is it. This is by God's grace through faith. Ask Him for forgiveness. Receive His forgiveness. Receive His grace. And just ask Him, please be my Lord and Savior. Like I said yesterday as I was presenting the gospel to the ladies, God will meet you right there. And then He'll start walking with you and show you what it is to walk with Him. And I guarantee you, you will never wish you didn't do it. Instead, you'll wish you did it sooner because you understand God's grace at that time and you have the knowledge of the treasure that lies within you, and you certainly do have the hope of heaven. Everything looks different. And that's it. That's what you do. You surrender your life to Him. And you experience and you come to know the treasure within. That's what Paul was getting across to the Corinthians. And that's what I hope has come across to you this morning. Father, thank You, Lord, for the treasure that lies within each person who has surrendered their lives to You. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. We thank You, Lord, that You did surrender Your Son on our behalf. Thank You, Lord, that He paid the price that we deserve to pay, Father, on the cross. And I pray this morning that we would be stirred up, that we would be encouraged, that we would understand that treasure that lies within us. That as we look at that scale and we look at the momentary afflictions as opposed to the eternal weight of glory that awaits for us in heaven, Lord, that we would have a good heavenly divine perspective of those things, Lord, that it would strengthen us, it would serve us, Father, to be spiritually tough. Thank You, Lord, that You have put Your treasure in these earthen vessels. If anyone here, Lord, has not surrendered their lives to You, they do not know that eternal life in You, I pray that today be the day of salvation. Right now, in the quietness of this place, and Lord, between that person and you, I pray, Lord, that right now that they would surrender, they would cry out to you and ask for forgiveness, that they would receive you as Lord, as Savior, and thank you for your grace. Meet them there, and may we come around each other in them and encourage them in their walk with you. Praise you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.